Now, the death toll from a devastating earthquake that hit Myanmar last Friday now stands at 2,886, with more than 4,500 people injured and hundreds still missing. Incredibly, the fire service in Myanmar have today reported they pulled a man alive from the rubble of the quake. But at this stage, hope is running out there will be any more survivors in the country of 53 million that has been plagued by a civil war since the military seized power in 2021. Conditions for the survivors are beyond grim. People are sleeping on the streets in the second largest city, Mandalay, and the spread of disease is a major concern, with limited access to clean drinking water, food and shelter. While they try to survive, the smell of dead bodies permeates the air in the 51 degree heat. Aid agencies are desperately trying to get help to those who need it, help for the sick near to impossible, as at least three hospitals were destroyed in the 7.7 magnitude quake, with many more damaged. Joining us now to discuss this is Dr. Margaret Harris, Global Spokesperson for the World Health Organization. Thank you, Dr. Harris, for joining us. What is the humanitarian situation on the ground like?
Good morning, Maggie. And you're right. It's absolutely dire. It has moved now to the response has really moved to looking after the living, but the living are in a precarious situation. That in Sagaing, the epicenter, there's no food or water supply in the city, or no water supply due to the lack of electricity and damage to the tanks. And there's one hospital, the general hospital, is extremely overburdened. No functioning private hospital facility. So we really need to get care services. We need emergency medical teams equipped with temporary hospital level facilities and a mobile operating theatre. We need that there, also in Naypyidaw, also in Mandalay. So it's really critical.
And tell us about that, trying to get those supplies in. How difficult is it because of what's happened with the infrastructure there?
It's very, very difficult. Just to give an illustration, it used to take sort of 3-4 hours to get up to Naypyidaw from Yangon. Now it takes at least 8 hours or more. Just getting around anywhere is difficult. But we have actually managed to deliver what we had from Yangon up to Mandalay and Naypyidaw and get them to our partners in the more difficult areas. So things like essential medicines and trauma kits, we have managed to get up there, but it's a drop in the ocean. We're also bringing in more. The supplies should have landed by now overnight. I haven't got confirmation, but we're getting more and more supplies in. And the other critical thing, as I said, is getting emergency medical teams in. And some have already arrived from China, Belarus, France, India, Russia, Thailand and Turkey. So the world is doing their best to help.
I want to ask you, though, you mentioned a number of countries there. The United States, of course, under President Trump, has cut US aid funding. And we understand that with these types of disasters previously, there had been specialist teams from America sent to help. But there isn't now at this time. Are you concerned there is a gap in the relief effort because of that cut to US aid?
Well, certainly the funding loss has made a big dent in the normal sort of emergency response, because the US was a really, really generous funder, you know, a really backbone funder of making funds available very quickly so that you could get out there and do the work. Now, the rest of the world, as I said, is putting their hands up and wanting to help. So I'm not saying the US isn't, but I think, you know, that there are difficulties there. And so we've had more than 20 different organisations say they're ready and willing to come and help provide the emergency medical services that are so desperately needed.
The civil war has been hampering efforts as well in Myanmar. We've heard reports that the ruling military junta have still been conducting airstrikes in the east of the country. Is the World Health Organization able to negotiate with them? Are they helping in order for aid agencies to get into the country?
So remember, this is a conflict that's been going on for 4 years, and we've been working in the country all that time. So it's never easy. We work through what we call a health cluster system, which means we know who the different groups providing healthcare in all the different areas are, and we work with them. Now, clearly, every day we negotiate with everyone in order to reach, to get to the people who need our help. And it's not easy. It's not easy because of the earthquake. It's not easy because of the conflict. But there are ways to reach people.
And just in the longer term then, Dr. Harris, for people who are now sleeping outside on the streets, the ongoing health risks to their health, and I understand as well that there's a monsoon season on the way. What is the short-term and longer-term future looking like?
It's looking very bad because many of them don't have any kind of shelter. Most people have sort of moved to sort of the monasteries and the temples because there's a little bit of, or they feel more comfortable there. But it's extremely hot right now. We're really concerned about heat stroke, particularly among children and the elderly, because the temperatures have been over 40 degrees centigrade. And as I said, people don't have shelter. But you're right. There's a depression forming over the Bay of Bengal. We're expecting very, very heavy rains, and we're also concerned about potential collapse of one of the dams that was damaged, so you could have massive flooding if you get those rains in. So indeed, misery is really piling on misery, and all the help we can get and get in is critical.
Dr. Margaret Harris, Global Spokesperson for the World Health Organization, thank you for joining us this morning.